a family talk, all right? A family talk tonight. And we're going to talk about my favorite subject, and that's giving. And I don't say that jokingly. I like giving, and I enjoy giving, and I enjoy the benefits, I praise the Lord, of giving. I'm just so thankful that God has given us opportunity to be able to give. And we should, as a child of God who's been given much, you should have a heart for giving. Some people do not have a heart for giving. A lot of Christians don't have a heart for giving, and that's a shame. That's actually a sad thing, because God wants to stretch our faith, and God wants to test our faith, and God wants to see if we can trust Him with this thing He calls mammon. Money in the Word of God, Christ refers to it as mammon. And the number one way that I think we show, and I'm not going to do a lesson on this today, but we could go through the Word of God and find out that God just intends that we'd understand that everything that we have been given comes from Him. I don't possess anything, and neither do you possess anything that does not come from Him. And so when we consider the idea of giving, we need to just start right there, that everything I have, 100% of it belongs to God. 100% of it belongs to God. And you need to remind yourself of that often, that 100% belongs to God. And God is so gracious and so good to you and I that He just says this: I'm going to let you keep 90%. And you get to manage 90% of all your increase. God allows you to manage 90% of it. 10%, He says this: I get that back. And that's what we call tithe. And some people say tithing is under the law. No, no, no. You need to study tithing throughout the Bible, because tithing was before the law. Tithing was during the law. Tithing is after the law when Christ comes. And so tithing's all throughout the Bible. God didn't lessen the that. Men have always, throughout the Word of God, going back to Abraham, given a tithe of that which they have been blessed of God back unto Him. And when we consider the fact that all that we have and all that we possess belongs to God anyway, praise the Lord, He didn't say, listen, I get 90 and you get 10. That'd take quite a bit more faith. But the reality is, to give something back to someone that belongs to them, you know how much people say, man, I don't have enough faith to tithe. I'm telling you, if you gave back to me what already belonged to me, you know how much faith that would really require? Zero. Zero. What it doesn't require faith to tithe. What it requires tithe is honesty. Honesty is what is required with tithe. Somebody gives 10% of what God's prospered them and says, man, God's so good, I got to live off this 90%, and I got to give God what belongs to Him. All I've done is I've been honest with God. And if I would start from the premise that it all came from God and it all belongs to God, and every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, and the faith comes in when I'm just willing to say, I'm going to be obedient to God, I'm going to be honest with God, and I'm going to give God what is His, and I'm going to trust this, that God is going to be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, with this 90% that He allows me to have and the 90% that He allows me to keep. I remember when we were just getting our church started, it was our first missions conference that we ever had in Grandview, Washington, where we were starting the church there, and we just had a handful of people there that were coming, were they tithing? I don't know who was giving what or anything, but I mean, just a handful of people, and we were scratching at the stone to get that handful of people, and we had Brother Gary Matheny come through, and Gary Matheny is just, I love Brother Matheny, and he's done a great work for God, but he's odd, he's just strange, he just is, he gets up and here we are, just like, I think there was like 9 of us in the room, myself included, and he gets up and he gets his bag out and he sets these 10 apples on the top of the pulpit there, and he says, all right, do you want, and the premise of his message is, you want 9 good apples or 10 cursed apples, then he just ripped our faces off about tithing for like an hour. It was like, I was sitting there as a church planner with like we're going to run everybody we have off, and just horrified by it. But the reality is, tithing requires honesty. That's all tithing requires. And somebody might say, well, why are we talking about giving? Because our missions conference is coming up next month, or next week, and next month. Starting next Sunday, the 2nd of January. It's hard to believe. But here's a reality that the Great Commission, in the Great Commission, it tells us to go and to preach the gospel and to see people converted. And those who are converted, they need to be baptized. And those who are baptized, they need to be trained and they need to be taught and they need to be discipled in the Word of God. And you say, well, that's the Great Commission. What does that have to be? What does that have to do with money? I don't know if you're aware of this, but fuel costs money. I mean, if you're going to drive anywhere, it's going to cost you some money. And if you're going to print any kind of materials, I mean, even printing of the Word of God, it's going to cost you money. And if you're going to buy shoes, it's going to cost you money. And the clothes, even if you go to Goodwill, and even if you're frugal about it, and if you say, we're going to save every dime that we possibly can, it's going to require some dimes if you're going to put clothes on your body and gas in your car and get tracts and Bibles to print. And I mean, all of these things, they do cost money. So for the reality of us to go out and to do the Great Commission, we've got to get this in our head. It's not just about, man, those missionaries need to learn how to live by faith and just trust God. No, no, no. The reality is this, that you and I need to learn to live by faith every bit as much as they need to learn to live by faith. And in the Word of God, we can go to 2 Corinthians, where Paul talks about the giving of the churches of Macedonia. And they gave beyond their power, out of their deep poverty, they were still giving. And the reality is this, that they had this mentality and this mindset that everything they had belonged to God. You say, how do you know they had that mindset? Because the Bible says, Paul says there, that they did not give as he hoped they would give, but that they first gave of what? Their own selves. They gave of their own selves. They were all in. That's been our theme for this last year. We're getting ready to change that here in the next week. But listen, they were all in when it came to giving. They were giving of their own selves. They were giving everything that the Lord would require of them and the Lord would desire of them. Out of abject poverty, they were giving. When we get this idea that everything that we have belongs to God, I'm telling you, our giving is going to go far beyond 10%. It's going to rise from 10%, and we're going to get into that area of giving offerings. And an offering is something that comes above your tithe. An offering is up to me, and it's between me and God, and I'm to be led of God. And that offering is going to come from my 90%, and I'm going to say, listen, I'm going to give of my excess that God has blessed me with and that God has given, and I'm going to give a portion of what God has given me to live off of to give to the need of someone else. And I'm telling you, we could go a lot of different places in the Word of God and look at this principle, but the reality is this: God wants to use you to meet the need of someone else. God wants to use you to be able to fund the work of the gospel ministry going around the world. And the reality is this: it's just a reality. It's a reality. There are hypocrites that are on the mission field. There are. And there are those who waste the funds that they are given. That's a reality. But there's also this reality that inside this church, all right, we have people that, well, waste money. God's money, because it all belongs to God. No, inside this place, I'm talking like, even though we have a small crowd in here right now, I guarantee that we could look at your finances and we could look at every dime that you spend and we go, did you really need a cup of coffee today? Come on. You could have bought Suave shampoo instead of Pantene shampoo. Or whatever brand you want to get. Come on, you could have got the bargain brand instead of, you know, the real Oreos. And really, come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. That's disgusting. It's disgusting. Come on. No, there's not a person in here that you couldn't have saved some dime somewhere. And so a lot of people want to say, well, I'm going to hold off on my giving because people waste money and missionaries waste money and I don't get to see where every dime of those missions dollars go. No, listen. That's why we call it faith promise. Because God's asking me to give. And again, we can go all through the Word of God, and you're going to find out this, that God is interested in His people being servants and His people being givers, and we're not even going to have to, by faith, just trust that God's going to be big enough to take care of the hypocrites and the wasters. No, we're going to have to trust that. That God's going to be big enough to take care of those needs, to take care of those problems. Because I promise you this, I could give you some great examples of some missionaries that we support right now that have needs that we don't have any knowledge about, and they're making sacrifices that we're never going to hear about, and they're not going to complain about them, and they're not going to whine about them, because they're understanding that they're having to be relying upon God to meet the need, regardless of whether our missions dollars ever flow from this this church or not. They're dependent upon God. So let's just trust that we ought to be also dependent upon God in our giving. I didn't call this a preaching. So you're being very preachy. I understand that, but we haven't even read a text yet. So Galatians in chapter 6. Say, what's the point? I do have a point. And I'm not going to give you anything new or deep that you've never heard before. In fact, we've preached from this passage of Scripture, from this pulpit, and others have as well. And the principles of sowing and reaping. Say, what do we give for? Because we're going to get to this. What do I need to be giving for? Because of Galatians 7 and the instruction here. But we're going to find ourselves also, if you want to find it already, in Luke 6. And a promise they're given in Luke 6. That's where we're going to end up. So, in Luke 6. But look at me, if you would, here. Just some instruction about giving. About giving. we need to be aware that everything that lives gives. Everything that lives gives. If you are living, you're giving something somewhere for something. You're giving out. There's not one person here that is not putting something out. It just mindful that what we need to be mindful is that of where we are giving. Maybe I confused that, but we need to be mindful of where our giving is going. Where our giving is going. If you go back in the book of Haggai, one of my favorite messages my dad preaches. I think I've asked him to preach it here before. I can't remember. But he talks about how they had got comfortable in their sealed houses there in the book of Haggai. And they were putting their money into a bag with holes in it. No, that's and come on. If you're going to hoard what you have, and you're just going to be interested in your own comfort and in your own well-being, I'm telling you, that's right where your money's going. Everybody in here, he said, I don't even tithe. I just put it in a bag of money and I'll let go of a little bit here and there when I see fit or when I think it's right. No. Everyone in here is giving. I promise you, everyone in here, whether you realize it or not, whether you're tithing or not, you are tithing and you're giving above your tithe. It might be that you have blown tires. It might be that you have washing machines that are constantly breaking down. It might be that you have motors that are constantly breaking down. It might be that you are losing big time in the stock market. I don't know. But I'm telling you, God is going to take His from you whether you give it or not. It belongs to Him. You're going to be far better off if you're just going to learn to give God what belongs to Him and then to realize everything else belongs to Him. And I can trust God and be honest with God. And you say, well, you're saying we ought to reverse things and give the 90%. I'm not saying that at all, and I've never said that. I believe this, though. You ought to be honest with God. You ought to be honest with God. And you say, well, what the benefit of being honest with God? The benefit of being honest with God is that you're going to reap those things that you sow. You're going to reap the things that you sow. And that's also, listen, that's also a negative. You're going to reap what you sow. And that's what Galatians in chapter number 6 talks about. It says this in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, look at this, shall of the flesh reap corruption. You say, well, what's it mean to sow to the flesh? Come on. When I go and I buy something for me, guess what I'm sowing for? I'm sowing to my flesh. You say, well, I mean, what do you mean? Buy anything? Like, I mean, it's cold outside. So you're saying if I go and buy a coat, yes, to keep whose flesh warm? Your own. Your own. Many times we can stop and we go, oh man, he's talking about worldly, ungodly wickedness and things like that. And it absolutely can be applied there. There's no doubt about it that our mind can go there. But the reality is, every time I buy food for me, guess whose food is buying it for? My own flesh. And guess what? I'm buying it for my own family and my own home because I'm responsible to keep them fed. I absolutely am. And there's nothing at all
wrong, and I don't think God intends anybody to live in abject poverty as they give away things that He's provided for them to others so that they can be warm and clothed and fed. God's not intending you starve to death so somebody else can eat and be well. God's not interested in that. Don't ever think that. But at the same time, let's be honest about it. I went to the store and bought food so that I could eat. And so did you. And you bought a coat so you could be warm. And you paid your electric bill so that you could be warm. Or in our case, threw wood in the fireplace that cost, listen, that at the very least cost some time and some effort so that we could be warm. So he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You understand that Romans, and you say, well, you're saying all these things are for our corruption. Listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I don't care how godly you are. I don't care biblical you live your life or anything. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you go to a funeral or you see anyone that is dead, the reason that they are dead is this fact. The wages of sin is death. And there, listen, this life and this flesh is going to end in corruption. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much good you've done. The end of this flesh is and always has been and always will be. And you're not going to change it. It is corruption. It is. So we are not to sow to the flesh as much. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. Man, some of you bought Christmas gifts for one another. How dare you? So, I mean, my kids were very spiritual. They got me nothing for Christmas. And I'm a little upset about it. I didn't even get a tie or socks for Christmas because they're grinchy. But anyway, moving on. I got a great. I'll move on. Never mind. All right, this is a good Christmas story that Sean got for Christmas. All right. Shall rub the flesh reap corruption? Our flesh is corrupt. These clothes that I bought to adorn my body with, listen, they're one day going to be moth-ridden rags. They're going to be corrupt. They will be. That doesn't mean that I can't have a nice suit and tie. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, all things fleshly will one day be corrupt. But he that soweth to the, what? The Spirit. To the Spirit. God is more interested in the spiritual than He is in the physical. He absolutely is. He is more interested in the spiritual than He is in the physical. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The things that are sown in the Spirit of God, the things that are done for the purpose of obedience to the Spirit of God, are things that are going to last for eternity. There are going to be things that are going to not be what we call temporal. There are going to be things that are going to be everlasting. They are going to be eternal. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. We need to understand these, just a couple principles, four things really, and we'll move on. And again, I know they're nothing new because they're not original with me, and I know I've said them from this pulpit before as well. We are all sowing. I've already said that, but let me just remind you, everyone in here is sowing. You're either sowing to your flesh or you're sowing to the Spirit. There's a reality. Every one of us is doing that. There's not one person alive on the face of this planet that is not sowing to the flesh or to the Spirit. All of us, all the time, every day of your life, you have been doing one of those two things, and you need to be mindful of those things. You need to be mindful of the what you are sowing. You need to be mindful that you are sowing, and you need to make sure that your life is filled with a spiritual mindedness instead of a fleshly mindedness. Because you are sowing. And so as you sow, you ought to be mindful. I think that the reality is this, that God knows what things you have need of. He knows what things you have need of. God called me to Bellingham, Washington, instead of to like Vanuatu. The Herzls were trying to get me to come over and do a, they said, and I'm praying about it. You ought to come over and do a youth thing for us and youth camp and stuff. And they're all excited about it. And I said, oh man, that sounds awesome. I mean, tropical climate. I mean, really, really neat place. I mean, Vanuatu is one of those like, bucket list destination places. It really kind of is. There's one problem with with Vanuatu, and I said, because one of the kids like, I don't want to go get eaten by a tiger. They said, no, you actually have more chance of getting bit by a rat. Then it's, you know, they don't have tigers, but he said, you have more chance. And that was like the absolute wrong thing to say to me if you want to get me traveling anywhere. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you wanted to turn me off of traveling. And I said, man, I'm going to have to really, 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 really. I mean, I'm trying to be spiritual about even getting the courage to pray about it, honestly. But they said, man, when you come over, we want you to come over whenever you come. Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't like rats. And God knows what things I have need of. Amen. He does. He absolutely does. And so, listen, God meets our needs. So it's a matter of I can't have a nice home or I can't have nice stuff or anything like that. But understand with me, I ought to be mindful. I'd be very mindful that when I'm doing things based upon the needs of the Spirit of God, because God makes us aware of our own need. And if we're spiritually minded, God's going to correct us, and God's going to instruct us, and God's going to lead us in the things that we have need of. That's why he said, if you ask anything in my name, in the Spirit, it shall be given unto you. God knows what to tell you to ask him for. And also this, God knows whether you're being selfish and fleshly as opposed to spiritual. We can hide behind a spirituality sometimes, but the reality is this. God knows the difference, and you are reaping something, and you need to be mindful of the reality that God knows the difference, and that this is also a reality, that time will tell. Time will tell. Time will tell with everything, whether I'm sowing to the flesh or whether I'm sowing to the Spirit. Time is a great way, it has a great way of bringing things to pass. You can look in the Word of God. That's very much of a spiritual principle. I don't know whether this is of God or whether it's of man. Come on. And if it's of God, time is going to tell. And if it's not of God, then time is also going to tell. It's going to bring it to pass. It's going to happen to come to pass. So we also, this is another reality, verse number 7, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. All of us will sow to the flesh or to the Spirit, and you will reap what you sow. You're going to reap of the flesh. You're going to sow to your flesh. You're going to reap of the flesh. You're going to sow to the Spirit. You're going to reap of the spiritual blessings of sowing to the Spirit. And when we reap what we sow, you need to understand we ought to be very careful. We ought to be very careful because we are going to reap fleshly things. You're going to reap fleshly things. They say, well, that couldn't be positive. I could get more money. That can be. I could have 2 cars. I mean, there are a good aspect of that, but there's also a negative aspect of that. There's also a negative aspect of that. That I'm going to sow to my flesh. I'm going to give myself to receiving the things that my flesh desires. And listen to me, I'm going to also receive things of the flesh. Not everything of the flesh is good in any way. Say, oh man, fleshly things are always good. No. There's a lot of fleshly things that are bad. You're going to reap them. I'm convinced of this. I'm going to reap of my children that which I've invested in them. Yeah. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings at all with that, but I'm just saying I'm going to reap of my children that which I have invested in them. I'm going to reap of my church that which I have invested in it. I am going to reap of my spouse, come on, that which I have invested in her. I think many times us guys can go like, man, what's her problem? Come on, she is a reflection of you. And your children are a reflection of you. And your church is a reflection of you. And friend, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. We come to the house of God, and we're encouraged, man, we need to edify, we need to be giving, we need to be servants, we need to be all these things, and someone comes and they say, I just want somebody to bless me, and I want somebody to serve me, and I'm here to be built up, and everybody should be doing that to me, and you never spend time building, and you never spend time edifying, and you never spend time serving, and you never spend, listen, and you're not sowing to all of those things as well as reaping of those things, there's going to be a time when that which you've sown is going to come to fruition, and you're going to reap those things that you have sown. And you can be angry with me, and you can be angry with a Sunday school teacher, and you can be angry with somebody else across the aisle. But at the end of the day, you need to be honest with yourself. And at some point, you need to be just straight up with yourselves that I have not been sowing properly. That the problem is not everyone else and what they've sown into my life. And the problem is not everyone else and what they've sown around me. The problem is me and me alone, because you're not reaping what I have sown. You're reaping what you have sown. You will. We will all reap what we have sown. Then also we understand this in verse number 9. You reap later than you sow. You reap later than you sow. Look at verse number 9. And let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. You reap later than you sow. I'm saying that there should be a consistency of the Christian life, that I'm going to reap and reap and reap and reap, and this is what I'm counting on, not what I'm immediately getting back. And that's where a lot of people fall short, is, man, I've done good for like a month and it hasn't grown yet. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. I'm telling you, there is nobody on this earth that has more faith than a farmer. Nobody. They take that, which, I mean, most farmers, it's getting worse and worse because farming is going off the wayside. It's turning into these big corporations, and that's why we have a whole lot of problems with the grains that we have. That's a whole other subject. But anyway, but listen, genetically modified seed and all that kind of stuff. But back when farmers were farmers, and they literally took their seed from one year and they put it into a silo or a barn to keep for the next year. And then when the planting season came around, they took what they had set aside for this next year and they went and put it in the ground. I'm telling you, those people, they were very much poor until harvest came. But they had faith that if I'll put this in the ground, that there is going to be a harvest and I am going to sow. They didn't put it in the ground and then come out the next day and go, praise the Lord, it's up already. Or even a week. I'm talking there was a season. Come on, there was a season that they went through. To everything there is a season. And those farmers, by faith, would put the seed in the ground and they'd wait for the rainy season and through the growing season. And their goal was this, that the harvest season is coming and you reap later than you sow. You say, I just don't understand why I'm receiving bad things in my life. Well, come on. I don't know this entirely for every individual. And I do understand that other people's sin affects me. But the reality is this, that I can count on this, that sometimes I have sown bad things. I'm talking about me personally. I'm not talking about anybody else. I have sown bad things. I'm telling you, I've been angry before. I've lost my temper before. I've lost my cool before. And I say this all the time, that a lot of us ought to be praying for crop failure in our lives. Right? That those crops of bad things that we've sown do not come to pass. And we ought to be praying for crop failure. But I've had thoughts that weren't right. And I've had feelings that weren't right. I've had attitudes that weren't right. I'm telling you, I can't sit around and look at other people and just think, man, I can't believe that I'm getting things. No, I'm getting things that I sown and I can't believe what I'm getting. No. You always reap later than you sow. But here's another reality. Here's another reality. You always reap more than you sow. This is a reality of nature. I think the greatest example of this, and if it was seasonally okay, I could have brought it today, but I can't get by. I didn't stop at the grocery store to even see if they had any, but corn. I'm telling you, corn is the greatest example of reaping more than you sow. You take one, I mean, come on, you take one little kernel of corn and you put it in the ground, and out of that kernel of corn, when it dies and it germinates and that seedling grows up and it just pops. And I don't know if you've ever gotten the opportunity to be in a cornfield or come on, if you go back to Midwest, Kansas, Nebraska in the summertime, and it's humid and it's hot, and the hotter the day, I'm not joking, you can literally stand in a field and hear corn grow. I mean, because it's just wrapping, it's popping, it's growing, and you're just going to hear just crackling and popping as that corn is just growing and growing and growing, and the hotter it gets, it seems like the more it wants to grow. And it, I mean, it's just kind of neat to be able to hear that and to be able to experience that, but that corn grows up and it gets these, you know, some kind of leaves on it. it, and it gets some plumage on the top. And on the very tip top of that stalk of corn that can be like 6 to 8 feet tall, on the very tip top is that large stalk of corn. There's that kernel of corn that you planted in the ground. Just one kernel, right?
No.
No, that's not how it works. No, that one little kernel of corn produces thousands of other kernels. No. I mean, it produces like 5 to 6 ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn on each ear of corn from one little seed. We always reap more than we sow. We always reap more than we sow. We need to get this in our mind that we better be careful what we sow, that we're going to reap later than we sow, but that we are going to reap more than we sow. And we need to be mindful of that, that as we are sowing, we are careful what we sow. We need to have a mentality in life that we are of this. I heard one preacher call it this. We need to have a giving, living mentality. That we are living to give, that we're always looking to give out of the spiritual. Most people are takers in life. That's a reality. Even in churches, even among Christians, there are a lot of people that are just takers. They want to take and take and take, and they are not interested in giving of the Spirit and giving to the Lord. And I'm telling you, we need to look at everything that we possess as if it is God's, and that you can trust God with it, with your time, your talent, and your treasure. You can trust God with everything, and you can go ahead and be willing to give. You can go ahead and be willing to give what God desires of you to give. Go over to Luke in chapter number 6. I said we'll be over here and we're almost done. So you can say amen. We're almost done with the first message for the morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But in Luke in chapter 6 and verse number 27, it says this. And if you're at home, just hold on just a second. We will take a bathroom break here in just a minute. All right. But the Lord is giving his disciples some instruction. It says, "But I say unto you which hear." All right, so that means we got to listen up here. He said, "Not everybody is going to hear this, but to you which are hearing." So that would mean the reality that all of us have ears, but not everyone is hearing. And we know that if you have children in your home. Hey, moms, I need an amen right there. If you're at home, dad, slap the back of Junior's head, all right, gently. Come on, we all have ears, but not all of us hear. And so he says to those who hear, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye, look at this, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And you say, well, what does that mean? That's reaping to the flesh. Well, I just do good for those who do good to me. That's, you're reaping to the flesh. You're giving to get what you want instead of being obedient to God. Look at verse 33. Circle this one. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Everything, come on, we already said this. Everything that lives gives. Everything that lives gives. The question is, what are we going to give to? The spirit or the flesh? The spirit or the flesh. Keep reading. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Come on. Come on, let's think about these principles. Hear these principles that Christ is teaching. In light of what we just talked about of sowing and reaping, hear these principles. That God is not just interested in us giving to those who are going to give back to us. I think the principle of pure religion and undefiled is this, to give to the fatherless and to the widows, you're giving unto them of whom you have no hope of receiving anything back. Do you understand? When we sow to the Spirit, There is no hope that we are going to receive anything back of anyone other than God. I'm going to give to the need of another individual because my hope is that God knows what my need is. Come on. And I'm going to sow to the Spirit those things that God has required unto me. And I am dependent upon this, that God knoweth what things I have need of and is going to provide for me. And if I'm just doing it, so man, I'm going to give so that I can get. Listen, God knows that heart, and that's the same heart of this world, which would be a heart of the flesh. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christianity that just have that mentality. And I'm not against this because we're going to get to verse 38. I know verse 38 is there, but listen, we don't just give to get to get. No, we give, we trust God to get so that we might be able to give again. So that I might receive, man, I've received, I sowed to the Spirit, I love the Spirit, received more, and now I'm going to take that which the Spirit has given, and I'm going to give more, and I'm going to give more, I'm going to give more. I'm telling you, we need to not be as this world. I'll give, if God gives to me, then I'll give. No, come on, God already has given to you. God has been benevolent to you. He's been gracious to you. You need to trust God and be obedient to God with your giving. Look at this, verse 35. But love ye your enemies. Do good to them, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, that your reward shall be great, and that ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Verse 38 is given in light of what he just said. Give, and it shall be given unto you. God is going to be able to make all grace abound unto those who are willing to give. Not so they can get back, but so that they in obedience might be able to be honoring to God in their finances and in their funds. He says, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I love this. Running over. Because remember, God, you always reap more than you sow. So I gave because I was being obedient to God. And I was giving, and guess what? You are going to receive back abundantly more than you ask or think. Running over. For with the same measure ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Shall be measured to you again. Well, how's it going to be measured unto me again? I'm going to give, hoping for nothing in return. I'm going to just go ahead and put all the things that I've worked hard for out there, and I'm just going to give, and I'm not going to expect anything in return. And while we give, not expecting anything in return, this is a reality. I skipped a very important part of this verse. Because I gave to the need of men, and the Bible is very clear, shall men give unto your bosom. That is a reality of giving, friend. That as I give, God gives back. And you say, well, how's God going to give back? He's going to give back in proportion to what you've given. You're going to reap what you sow. It's going to come later than it's been sown. And friend, it's going to come from those to whom you've sown it. It's going to come from men. God is going to use other men to come and to meet your need. You say, well, I gave this money and I haven't had anybody walk up and hand me money. I had to go out and earn my money. You're telling me you've received nothing of God back from men? Do you realize this? That boss who gives you a check, like that guy that writes your check, or maybe a lady, I guess, that writes your check. Guess what? They're a man. What? I mean, that might be mind-blowing for some of us, right? That some man gave back to you. Well, it wasn't though. I mean, I had to go and work. And yeah. And we're giving under the need for the work of the gospel to move forward, for the work of the church to move forward. So we as men are giving to the needs of men. And guess who gave us the money to give to those needs? Other men. Well, ultimately, God. But so many times when we think, well, I'm giving to the needs of men and nobody's me. No, come on, friend. You say, well, I'm self-employed. I write my own. Oh, okay, fine. And other people are paying you for the services you are rendering. There are men are giving unto your bosom so that you can give unto the bosom and to the need of other men. I'm telling you, God's plan is a very amazing plan. It's an amazing plan. If we start seeing things from God's perspective and giving the way God desires for us to give, God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that all your need shall be supplied, His promise to you, and that you're going to receive greater than you ever could have asked or think if you're willing to trust God in His plan for your life. Let's have our heads bowed.